Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Life Coach Rita Giganti, and this is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. And of course, we record on a Friday with Rita and Linda, and Linda's taking the day off, and Rita's able to join us today. And Rita, between you and Linda, it's like one person on, one person off, and swap it around and swap it to do again and swap it again. But it all works because every week, you know, we always have coverage. We're always talking. We're always carrying on the conversation. And it's not like there's any lack of things to talk about. But I guess it's my long-handed way of saying, hey, it's been a while. Glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. It's been quite a journey the last few weeks. I guess everything's being amped up. The energy, whatever's going on around the world is creating, you know, some unrest, and people are in need of, at least I'm finding with my readings, is that people are in need of finding ways to disconnect from that and connect to their higher self, you know, to go in to not to be oblivious to what's going on, but not to also give power to what's going on. People are finding a hard time with that. I mean, I have people in, you know, people living in the same house, not agreeing on what's happening. Like, you know, one's on one side, one's on the other, you know? And the ones I'm having the reading with, I'm trying to, work with them to, be in a place of just acceptance of where that person is, and you know that none of us agree 100% on anything. You know, we all have our viewpoints. So,
thank goodness, actually, it would be a dull place if we all agreed on everything. But
wow,
it's kind of that's a hard perspective to have during these times, I have to admit. But you're right. And the fact is, acceptance is the strong position. It's also the hardest one to reach when emotions run high. And right now, emotions are running really high all over the place. But acceptance is, well, first of all, it's a very advanced position. I mean, anybody who's experienced, you know, getting to know law of attraction for the first time, or how spirit works, or how vibration works, or anything like that, this isn't one of the first concepts you run into. The first concepts you run into are like, okay, I want to attract a perfect mate in my life. How do I do that? Or I want the right job, or I want to make $1 million. No, this is super advanced stuff. Trying to find ways to come to terms with what I like the term that David Strickle, Stream of David, has. He calls it transgressors, dealing with transgressors in our lives, and learning to not only let go of the transgressions, but to forgive the transgressors and accept them for who they are. It's a huge, huge step. It's a huge, huge thing. And so first of all, I give people like you credit for helping people to do exactly that. And I also give credit to the clients who are trying to do what seems impossible to them at the time. You know, you got to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking before we got on about, you know, exercising and keeping, playing music and keeping like your spirits up like that. It's really the little things I'm trying to explain to everybody. It's not a grand thing that you have to do to get in that place. It's the little things on a daily basis that you, allow yourself to, you know, experience.
Yeah, you know? That's true. And the more that we can do things like that, the better off we are. In fact, it's been kind of part of the conversation that I've inserted here on the program for the last few days to kind of emphasize maintaining a list, like a go-to list of things to do when you're not feeling it, when you're feeling out of whack, when you're feeling down the spiral. Because when you're in that place, it's hard to remember what the things are that you can do that feel good. Whereas if you've got a written list, it's so much easier. You just, you know, oh yeah, I remember I can do that. Okay, I'll do that. And music for me is like, you mentioned music, that's near the top of my list. Music and walking, those are both like in the top four right there. And they're powerful. They're really powerful. I also have to throw in mirror exercises too, because we had an email from Deborah, one of our more loyal and vocal listeners. She's been hearing me talk about mirror exercises for the last few weeks now, and she finally started doing them. She said after 2 days, she was blown away how powerful they were. So, yeah, we were giving her credit for that yesterday. But I mean,
God. I gotta say that was probably one of the hardest things they had me do.
Right?
Oh my God. I was just like, first of all, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. Like,
the minute I stepped in front of the mirror, I was hysterical laughing, like, yeah, I can't do this, you know, and I'd walk away and then I'd have to come back and, you know, but once you get the hang of it and it starts rolling, you actually have full on conversations with yourself.
You do. Yeah.
You know,
and the good ones.
Yeah. And they're like, really I'm waiting for me to say something back, but without me speaking, you know,
yeah, right.
It's like a whole other aspect of me, you know,
that's fun. I know exactly what you mean though. Did you have, when you were first starting out, now I've told my story a few times on the show, kind of similar to what you just described. My first time I was determined to do it. I got in front of the mirror and I said, oh God, I can't do this. I love you. And I walked away. That was all I could do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The second day wasn't a whole lot better. And I got better and better over time. But, what ultimately happened is I reached a point. I think it was like maybe 5 to 10 days into that really painful period where somehow I just kind of got extra gumption or something. I was just determined I was going to do it well that day. And from that point on, it was like what Deborah said when she wrote in just a couple of days ago. It really kicks in. It almost kicks you in the face how powerful the stuff is. Just giving yourself that kind of acknowledgement and what you're really doing is you're building up your self-love. I mean, you're really just building up how you feel about yourself.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't take having climbed very much up on that ladder to really notice the difference.
Right. I mean,
it's kind of like, it's like if you go, you know, hiking or something, you're climbing up a little mountain or something like that. And when you get to the top of your climb, you know, you're winded and you look around like, wow, it really came up quite a ways. You don't realize until you get up there how high you went. And it's the same thing with the mirror exercise. You don't really realize it while you're doing it. But after you're done, it's like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you start to realize it during the day because you feel... You feel good about yourself, you know, you feel, that things are moving synchronistically and, you know, you're like, oh, must be those mirror exercises kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, amazing, when you really want something, it's, you know, sometimes you have to have patience with yourself and, with what you're trying to experience. Some people go a whole year without, you know, they have little experiences whatever they're choosing, whether it's meditation or whatever. And then all of a sudden it, boom, breaks wide open. Yeah. And, you know, they start to experience more and more. And, you know, I've had so many people ask me, why is that? And I said, because when you're ready, it happens. And not until you're ready. Like there is a protective mechanism in us that knows when we're ready for something and when we're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people can keep things suppressed for X amount of years.
Sure.
Cause they can't handle it coming up when they finally decide, hey, I need to unleash whatever this is so that I can, you know, make room for new. And then it happens because they're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of those things that's really hard to label it with any degree of accuracy. What is this thing, this X? But you label it about as well as you can. It's just something that it just pops in at some point. Unsurprisingly, but also without warning. Like, oh, wait a minute. What was that? Where did that come from?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
By the way, we did have a few questions that had come in for you to put on your psychic hat on. We actually ended up dishing them off to Dean because we knew it was going to be a while before you got back. So he took care of most of them. But I wanted to bring one back for you to discuss.
Sure.
And it comes from our friend Alex King, who does the Thursday shows with me and her fiance, Kenny. And I had him bring it up I had Dean address it and talk about it directly on the program on Tuesday. And I even threw in my 2 cents worth as well. And then since then, there was an event that happened that kind of put the whole thing on hold. But I wanted to get your take on, because I know Alex would really appreciate it. I'm sure Kenny would appreciate it too. Without going into any details, because I don't really know the details, Kenny's dealing with a court situation, and his concern that he had for some time was that they were going to be separated. He was going to end up dealing with some sort of a jail sentence or something. And when they asked about on Tuesday, and Dean and I addressed it, Dean pointed out that at the time it was feeling like it was kind of leaning against him. It was very fluid, but it was kind of leaning against him. And the point that both Dean and I made was your vibration makes all the difference in the world. So change the way you're feeling about it and you're going to get a different result. Well, they did get a different result because he got a continuance. I guess the reason given was pandemic, but the whole thing got put on hold, which kind of surprised them. So I figured, let me run it by you and see, are you getting anything new, any more information that might be helpful to Kenny and Alex?
I don't feel jail at all. Is that what, is that what the potential is? Is jail?
That's what the potential is, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not feeling that. What?
You're not?
No. I'm just not feeling it. Yeah. I think if maybe he's raising his vibration to that point where, it's not necessary, or, if this is a first time offense, that might be part of it. And, if he's got a good lawyer, there's no reason for him to have to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
None.
It may not even have been jail. That may be a stretch. I don't know exactly what the situation is. Again, I don't have the details. I get the impression that there was some potential for separation, but what that would mean, I'm not really sure. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting that actually. But I don't feel like it. There's something happening in May. Getting the month of May. So I don't know if they postponed it that long or, if something is just happening and it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's just shifting energy and spirit saying that's in May. So, I think he's going to be fine.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be glad to hear that.
Yeah. If anything else comes, I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good. We got that one sorted out. So hopefully Alex and Kenny can breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
It's been also Alex has also been dealing with health issues too. So I'm sure that hasn't helped them at all.
We did some of that, didn't we?
Last August, you identified that there was going to be some sort of problems. I think you said between the diaphragm and the neck, and she turned out she had some lung issues, and they actually got pretty serious over the last couple of weeks. And I know you did some work privately with Alex after that point. But she went through some lung drainages. I guess one of her lungs shut down entirely, and they had to drain all this junk out and so forth. But she's doing better, you know, so she's on the upward curve. That's the most important thing. But clearly, I mean, that a lot of that was going on in the last couple of weeks, so that's going to seriously harm your ability to handle what Kenny was going through at the same time, you know?
Right.
Which is par for the course these days. It's like everybody's going through all this junk these days. And yes, there's plenty of outside interference and influences and so forth, but we also have the inside influences. I mean, within our personal lives and families and, you know, friendship associations and so forth, lots of stuff going on. And that's something else we were touching on before the show. And I figured that's something we should probably go into a little more detail, how to handle this stuff. There's just like mountains of it going on.
I think what's happening is people are releasing. And so in order to move up in vibration and to vibrate at a higher level, we have to release certain things in our energy and our bodies so that we can make room for the new energy that's coming in. Otherwise, there's going to be a battle. You know, and people are experiencing the battle right now because, they don't understand what's happening to them. So they think that they're sick or they are sick and they just need to understand that needs to be released. Like there was a tremendous amount of grief around her lungs, you know, that is being released right now. And so, I'm seeing that, and I'm also seeing the white light moving in to heal the area for her. So
good.
everybody's experiencing on one level or another, whether it be a complete full on dark night of the soul because they haven't released much yet, or, you know, the part of their body that's vulnerable, whether it be the emotional, the physical, that's vulnerable to them, that now they're ready to shed another layer. And how do I know? Because I'm dealing with a lot of that in my work.
Okay.
And the best part of it is I've had so much experience with the dark night and the emotional body and clearing out that I'm able at this point to almost mentor people. I would say I would call it mentoring people with spirit to, because there's so much more available now. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, when I was going through it in my 20s, there weren't that many people, you know, there to help, you know. And so I was blessed that spirit put people in my path, because I would not know where to go look for it. And still I had to go through the process of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a quick fix. It wasn't a quick fix. It wasn't like I could take a pill and it was gone. There were things I was experiencing that I thought for sure people could see, like this vibration energy on the inside of me that I could swear people could see me shaking, but no one could. But if I put my hand on top of somebody else's hand, they could feel the vibration.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of different symptoms and you have to know yourself well enough to know, okay, is this a symptom that I need to get checked by a doctor, or is this a symptom coming from my own stuff that needs to be shed? And for those who don't know, you go to the doctor just to clear the anxiety of it.
At the very least. Yeah.
That's right. I tell that to everyone. I said, if this is giving you that much anxiety, then you go to the doctor and you make them check whatever you need.
Right.
And then you at least have a clear head and you know then what it is.
And you probably already knew anyway, but this helps to compartmentalize it so that you're not thinking, well, it could also be this. And you can just let that part go and say, okay, yeah, I know what it is. I got to deal with it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And you know, if it's a really big thing, I mean, your case, I know it was a huge thing that you were going through. When you're going through something that is as big as that, you need to have that compartmentalization. You need to have spirit focused on, I'm just going to clear this, because that's a big enough job all by itself, let alone incorporating, you know, illnesses or other people's stuff or, you know, ancillary things that you didn't even expect. You got to compartmentalize it. Otherwise, how else can you do it?
you feel like you're going batty, you know, you feel like you're going a little batty because you don't know what direction. When I tell people some of the symptoms that I had during that time, they're like, oh my God, I experienced that so much. I can't believe you're saying that. They don't realize that we're all going through a shift right now. Every single person on this earth, and we're all working at our potential, whatever that is, for the greater good. Even if it feels negative, even if there are people that are negative, it's all working for the greater good. We just have to stay on our track. And that's why I said you're not responsible for anybody else. You're not. You're responsible for you. If you take care of you and you can spread what you have done for yourself, that's how you've helped then the greater good.
And yet, isn't it interesting how when people bring up whatever the stuff is that's going on, the question is usually, what can I do about the other person with their stuff?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because they don't want to do their own.
What can I do? It's not what I can do with my stuff. It's what can I do about their stuff?
And you can't do anything.
No, it's annoying.
You can't do anything. Absolutely. You have to let them be where they need to be.
Well, actually, you can do one thing. It just doesn't have the direct amount of control you kind of wish that it would have. And that is you can raise your own vibration. And when you do that, something's going to shift. But when you're in that deep down place, somehow that's not satisfying. Somehow you want more than that.
Yeah, I know. I watch people struggle daily with that. And I just look at them and I go, why would they want to struggle like that? Like, what's the big purpose of that? Like, you're only hurting yourself. So you have to ask, like, are they used to being in, in that place of fear and anxiety all the time? And I'll give you an example. And, you know, I always use myself as the example because I don't ever want people to think that I don't experience things still, even though I do this work and I've been doing it for many, many years. Do you ever think like, oh wow, that hasn't happened in such a long time. And you know, the minute it came out of your fucking mouth,
yes.
The day after or the day it's happening, right?
Right.
So I asked myself, cause this happened, like, I don't even dare say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't remember the last time, like, I'll say something like, I don't remember the last time I had an anxiety attack.
Mm.
You know? And sure enough, that little fucker, you know, gets me. And so I finally said to Spirit, all right, what is that? You know, why? And the response I got was, number one, you brought it to you just by saying it. Number two, there's a piece of you that doesn't know how to live without anxiety. And when you're ready to live without it, you won't even question it again.
Yes.
Son of a bitch, I said. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's all my doing.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to tell people, be careful, you know, because you'll just bring it to you, not meaning it, not because you want to have an anxiety attack, just because you don't know how to live without something that you lived with for forever.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I want to ask you about something too. Something that we've been talking about on the show the last couple of days, because I keep bringing it up.
Sure.
And I'm bringing it up in the context of part of my research for this talk that I'm putting together for college students. I'm realizing that I want to really focus my talk around the science of the brain, and specifically what's called the ARAS, often called the RAS, or reticular activating system. It's a part of the brain stem. Yeah, I think you're familiar with it. And there are two things I want to ask you about it. First, were you aware that it only filters 4 out of 5 senses?
No.
The fifth sense is smell. Smell bypasses the RAS entirely. It goes right into the emotional centers of the brain.
That I know.
Yeah.
That I know. And smell brings back your memories.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So I guess the point I'm making is, if you're in that dark night of the soul situation, quick way out is introduce a smell that you feel good about, and it'll just pick you right up fast. It just bypasses everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because of that.
That's a good point. I have someone that I can actually bring that to.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. The other reason I wanted to bring up the ARAS is it is the body's filtering system for the conscious mind.
Mm.
And the example that is the classic example with the RAS, of course, is like, you know, you go to the car dealership and you buy a blue Chevy, and then all of a sudden you see blue Chevys everywhere because you are reprogramming the RAS to see it. Well, it's reprogrammable. It's reprogrammable based on what we choose to give our attention to.
Which
ties in beautifully with conscious creation. It also ties in beautifully with climbing out of dark nights of the soul. Because what it really tells us is, I've been programming my RAS to let in all kinds of clues about, say, anxiety, like you just brought up, or anything else that's driving me nuts. All I got to do is change the programming. Change the programming, my brain starts to respond differently, and then I start to respond differently.
Exactly.
So it actually works. I mean, you have the spiritual side that works, and then you got the physical side, and they're working together. I think that's a great, powerful combination.
Oh, my God. I think it's a fabulous talk that you're going to have.
I think so, too. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm also going to introduce something else, too, that I kind of touched on here on the show a little bit. I'm really working on putting together a series of, I'm calling them games, different processes you can do. I'm kind of turning them into game-like situations. In fact, I'm drawing upon games that have been popular over the centuries to kind of rework them into what I'm trying to do. But we were talking earlier about mirror exercises, right? And the purpose of a mirror exercise is to build up your self-love and self-esteem and self-confidence and so forth. Well, right. I'm thinking, well, why don't we create games where people interactively do the exact same thing, build each other up? And so yeah. I'm trying to create a bunch of games for that purpose. And just to give you a few things I've thought of so far, there's a popular game that's been around for centuries. It's kind of gained a little bit extra popularity in the last few years called Truth or Dare. You either have to speak a truth or else you have to be dared to do something. And usually it's something embarrassing. So basically the game is about how can you embarrass everybody else you're playing with? Well, I'm thinking, why does it have to be about embarrassment? Why right. can't it be the truth is something that's true about you that you love about yourself, something along that line? Or the dare is I dare you to find something about this other person that you like along that line. So make the whole game about building up rather than embarrassing.
I love it.
So that's like the general approach I'm taking. And sometimes I'm drawing upon like Abraham Hicks processes or some of the other popular processes that are out there. I'm going to actually use mirror exercises as one of my games. Like one of the Abraham processes, I think it's number 14, wouldn't it be nice? You just go through a series of things. Wouldn't it be nice if, and then fill in the blank with whatever would be nice. The idea being to get yourself into that good feeling vibrational place. Well, why can't you make that as a game? Where you have everybody, kind of rampaging on it. In fact, we've done it a couple of times here on the show. Everybody's rampaging on, wouldn't it be nice if, wouldn't it be nice if? I tell you, you do that for even 10 minutes, you're exhausted, first of all. And second of all, you're flying at about 5,000 feet.
Right.
I remember Wells, who was a co-host for about a year and a half, about 2 or 3 years ago. And he and I did an entire show on wouldn't it be nice if. And when we were done, we were drenched in sweat. We were grinning ear to ear and we were flying, absolutely flying high. And it carried over for days for both of us. And he had been going through kind of a particularly tough time. I remember that. And he told me that the next week that he was on that show, it just lifted up his entire week. So yeah. I keep thinking about stuff like that. And I say, we just got to create these games. Turn them into games. Right. Turn them into, especially now that we are living in the pandemic and we're online and we're working with Zoom and Skype Absolutely. And FaceTime and all this stuff. Take advantage of it, right? Right. I'm even thinking about writing a book of, I guess I would call them self-esteem games or LOA games or something like that. Just to give people ideas. Here's like a list of 50 different games and here are where all the rules are. Like one I just came up with today in the shower. Louise and I have been playing Scrabble lately. Which is a pretty tough game. And I like to do it like crossword style. I mean, yeah, you do it crossword style anyway, but I like to put a word down and it also spells three other words at the same time. Yeah. Put that kind of thing together. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of because of the limitations of Scrabble. There's only certain things you can do with that because you're drawing from, you have seven letters to work with and that's it. And you're very limited.
Right.
But what if you take away that limitation? I thought to myself, what if you just have a piece of paper and the first person writes their first word down? And the words are only words that you feel a positive association with. So you might put down ecstatic, for instance, as your word. And then the other person just writes and they can pick whatever letters they want. They're not limited to letters that they drew out of a stack. They can pick any of the 26 letters and they can make whatever length word they want.
Okay.
But it has to be a positive word.
Right.
You just on a piece of paper, you build together with two or more people, your Scrabble board, if you will, of positive words and see how many of them you can get to interlink and so forth.
So let's just say someone said abundance and that came down like vertically, right? Abundance. Do you use one of those letters?
Yes.
To create exactly. another word?
Just like you do with Scrabble. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. That's awesome.
I mean, how about that? I mean, it's totally reprogramming your mind to only look at positive words.
Yep.
Because you're not allowed to use anything else. I do have one little rule in there. If you make like a crossword style thing, where like not only do you put your word down, but it also creates adjunct words, you know, little words next to it, like on a crossword right. puzzle. They don't have to necessarily be positive words, because words like to and as aren't necessarily positive or negative. They're just, you know, they're just words. So right. the rule applies to the main word that you're putting down. It has to be a positive main word. But nice. I think that would be a pretty cool way to, you know, kind of change the whole Scrabble game around.
Yeah. I love
and
it.
There's a game that Louise and I invented from when we were doing trips, car trips, because yeah. At the time we were living in Virginia, and we'd sometimes come back to New England to visit family and friends and so forth. It's like a 12-hour trip. So, you know, you got to keep yourselves occupied. So we called it the alphabet game, and I modified it to what I call the alpha tail game. The alphabet game is where you go through the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and one person comes up with the letter A, a word that starts with A, and the next person gets B, so they come up with a word that starts with B, and it's about positive words. You know, what are the words you can come up with?
Right.
The variation I came up with is the one that I call alpha tail or alpha tails, where let's say I come up with the word ecstatic. Ecstatic ends in a C, so the next word has to begin with a C. And then, you know, so you come up with charm, and so that ends in an N, so the next M. So the next word has to start with an M. So yeah, that's where the alpha tail.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
But once again, finding a way to just focus in only on stuff that feels good.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of reprogramming aspect that has?
Yeah, I'm gonna try a couple of those with like some friends, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's got to be with all the different kinds of games. I mean, how about positive charades?
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. You know,
just it's the same as the regular game of charades, but you choose something that has a really positive theme to it.
Sure. I mean, charades could be funny no matter what. You know what I
Absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Because that lifts your vibration. Just for, you know, just laughing will lift your vibration.
Exactly.
You know. Exactly.
But why not come up with a whole bunch of them? And in fact, here's something else I'm thinking about doing. And I'll even take an opportunity here to just kind of ask listeners to send me an email to me, walt@lawaytoday.net, if you're interested in this. I'm thinking about like choosing a weekend day, like a Saturday, and having a special Zoom party, if you will, for anybody who wants to come in, and we'll just play group games, group positive feeling games, kind of build everybody's energy up and get into a high vibe place. I'm not sure if I really want to do that. I think it probably depends on whether I get enough feedback to say, yeah, let's do it. But, right. You know, if you like the idea of that, send me an email, let me know. And, you know, we'll start figuring out when to do it.
I could actually probably put that out there like I do monthly, what do you call it? Zoom meetings for either meditation or I think people would want to do something like that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Let's put out Definitely. Some feelers, just see if we get enough interest that, you know, people want to do it. And if we do, we'll do it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that would be great. We certainly need as many opportunities as we can get to work on how we feel, what our vibration is, and our self-love. And that's why I like these positive approaches, because each time that I'm thinking of one of them, I'm always tying in the idea, okay, does this build up self-love? Does this help build self-confidence? And because it's a group kind of a game, because that's what I'm aiming at right now, is it an opportunity for each other to build each other up? I mean, how often do we have conversations with each other where we're building each other up? It's not very often.
No.
Most often they're either pity parties or help me parties or, you know, I got to shoot the breeze and tell you what's been going on. Here's all the terrible things going on.
Right.
You know, what was the last time we actually had a party where we say, you know what, I really admire you for that hat you're wearing. Well, I mean, people don't wear hats. Well, you wear a hat, actually. But
I do.
You do. But, I mean, how often do we actually have conversations where we tell each other what we like about each other?
Right.
And then what better way is there to do it?
The person needs to also say what they like about themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, the two has to go hand in hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Is it like
anything else? It's building a habit. It's starting a new habit and then building it up.
Yes, absolutely. Good point. And there's time now with all this stuff going on, the pandemic, to be home and do this with people that you love and, you know.
Or even with people that you're just barely getting along with. I mean, as long as everybody's committed to it, it doesn't really matter. You see, right. You know, everybody's playing the same rules, right?
That's
anybody
it.
Who comes in and tries to violate the rules, you're out. And that's the nice thing about Zoom, right? You kick them right out.
That's great. I love it. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, God.
That was fantastic.
And I'm realizing there are so many different games to play this way. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the ones that Louise and I have done, I've mentioned this a few times, we actually drew from Sean Aker, the positive psychology guy. He calls it three gratitudes. We call it three good things. But basically, at the end of the day, you identify three things that went well that day. And you mm-hmm. relive them in your mind and in your conversation. When you do it with yourself, it's good. When you do it with somebody else, it's even better. Because then you get your own vibration plus theirs.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep.
So there's another example of it. I mean, the Abraham books, they've got just the one book, Asking It Is Given, has 22 processes in the back. God, if we can't turn those into 22 games, there's something wrong.
That's very true. You're right. I didn't even think of that, but you're right. Because I've listened to many of Abraham Hicks and great energy, just great, great energy. It's one of those.
My mind. One of them comes to my mind is one, I think they call it the checkbook game.
Okay.
And it's one where you're supposed to play it with yourself, but I can easily see this turning into a group game where you write down, you have like a checkbook register. You get an old checkbook register from the bank or one from a drawer that you haven't used. And on the first page, you write in $1,000. And then in your mind, you figure out how you're going to spend that $1,000. And then you actually write out as if you were writing a check for that thing, whatever it is, or those things. It could be more than one thing, to spend that $1,000. And then the next day, you deposit $2,000 into your mental account. And then you figure out how to spend the $2,000. And you keep doubling it every single time. Well, pretty quickly, you start getting really, really large numbers in there. You know, 4,000, right. 8,000, 16, 32, 64. And you know, it starts getting ridiculous.
Are they asking you to spend it in a way that, so say you had $15,000 in there. How are you going to spend $15,000? Well, I think I'm going to pay off this credit card, and then I'm going to buy a package of massages. And is that what you mean?
Yeah. Any way you want. You just, the only real requirement is anything that you pick, you have to take a moment to feel it as if it happened. Imagine it, you know, play it in your mind so that you're not just brushing it off. Like, okay, here's something. I threw something in. No, you have to actually take some time to kind of live it.
So what does it do? It builds the potential of more money coming.
It builds the potential for more money. It actually reduces and ultimately eliminates resistances to money. Because it starts building a belief that, not only can the money come in, but once it comes in, there's going to be tremendous amounts of relief because, I get to buy this. I get to pay off that debt. I get to do this. And what's really interesting is Louise and I did that one day where instead of doing it over a course of many days, we did it 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 8,000 in the same conversation. So we were just building it up really, really, really fast. And you get up to the range of like 32,000, 64,000, 128,000, and you start running out of ideas.
Really?
It's kind of spooky. Yeah. I mean, because you just said you're going to buy the house at 256,000. What are you going to do at 512,000? Like,
I'll buy my second home.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But the point is, you get to the point where you say, I don't know where to spend the money.
Oh, no. I don't think I'd ever run out of ideas because there's so many charities I would want to like connect to. And
that's what you end up doing.
Yeah. Like even like, you know, making my own, you know, like I created my own charity and helping whoever. And I'm doing this, Walt. This is Look at you coming up with all this shit tonight. I love it.
It is a wonderful game. It truly is. It expands. Talk about mind expansion. The mind expansion that comes out of this is mind blowing. It's amazing how much it can take you from a place of feeling to a place of, whoa, potential. Oh my God, so much potential. And it happens in like a half an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
I'm doing it. I'm going to get a register. I'm going to go to the bank and get a few of them.
There you go.
Now, when you're doing the register, do you write down what you're spending it on?
Yeah.
So in other words, you got $4,000 in there and you write down, I'm going to pay my credit card off for $1,000, and then you subtract the $1,000.
Yeah, exactly. Down,
you feel it.
You basically balance your statement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you go on to the next one.
Yep. So you treat it just like a regular checkbook.
This is great. This is great because I love it because it's doable. It's fun.
Yep.
And the only requirement is to have to feel it, that it happened.
And you know what? The one thing that is better than doing it is doing it with somebody else. Louise and I found that out. It's so much more fun doing it with somebody else.
Mm. Incredible. I'm going to get a group of people.
I'm not sure I can even describe that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, people would do that. People would do that what do you call it? There's no doubt in my mind I can get people to do that.
Yeah?
Yeah, no doubt.
Put some contacts out.
I can get probably 10 people. Right off the top of my head, I can get 10 people.
Well, you know, get some confirmations from them, and I'll set the thing up. We'll start doing these games.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so many of them. There's so many. Like, just from that one source, there's 22, and there are plenty of other sources. I mean,
yeah,
think of any process you've ever thought of. Just think of any process at all that someone has ever explained to you that you can do X in order to raise your vibration. I guarantee you it can be turned into a game.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah. And the first person that runs out, the first person that runs out of what they can spend it on loses. So you better figure out something you can spend it on. There's so much to do in the world for people. Come on now.
But it's funny though. Because at first, yeah, you eventually do come to the conclusion like you did that you come up with charities and so forth, different ways to spend the money creatively.
Sure.
But at first you're in that mindset, well, I've got to spend this on myself. And then you run out of things to spend it on yourself is what it amounts to.
Yeah.
And you realize, my God, I don't have an unlimited need for money. I think that's probably the biggest lesson that comes out of it.
Yeah.
Because we think subconsciously we have this unlimited need for money. We really don't.
Right.
And that breaks it. That breaks that.
Yeah, then it just comes so easily after that.
Exactly.
The minute that's why people who have money can attract more of it, because they don't have the worries of the people that aren't right. So they just keep attracting it and attracting it. And there's nothing. They're no different than you and I. We can do the same thing. That's what I tell people.
I've told you about Joel Elston, who was a co-host for a number of years. He had to go off because he had so many clients, he couldn't handle them all. But he told me one time about a client of his who's a billionaire, actually, not just a multimillionaire, he's a billionaire. And he said during this one session, the client mentioned, he was sitting at his desk while they were doing their session virtually. And the guy says, oh, I forgot about this. And Joel says, what is it? He says, oh, I got a dividend check for $17 million. I forgot. He didn't care. It didn't make any difference to him.
God. It's like another day. It's like, I forgot to flush the toilet. I don't know.
Right.
Could
you
imagine
forgetting a check for $17 million?
Never. Never. But... I guess 17.
But if you're a billionaire,
like
it's nothing. It's
pittance,
like, you know,
right? It's right. Pittance. If he's a billionaire. Wow.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I love that.
Isn't that a great mindset, though, from that perspective, anyway? Now, of course, the reason he was talking to Joel is he had other issues. He had relationship issues that were just horrific. But the money issues, that went down pat.
Yeah, yeah. So you see, there's always something. And I'm sure all the money in the world isn't going to fix that relationship, you know? So
that's why I was talking to Joel. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
It really gives you perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, forget it. Absolutely. Tremendous perspective. Tremendous. Yeah.
Let's put a smile on our faces, too.
Yeah. The checkbook game is great.
Isn't that cool?
Gonna do it.
It is so fun to do. I haven't tried it in a group. I mean, Louise and I did it together, and just the two of us doing it together was cool. I mean, actually, you know what the hardest part was? It was breaking the original description of the process in our minds, because the original process says, well, no, you do 1,000 for one day, and then the next day you do 2,000, and the next day you do 4,000, so it's spread out over time. And we said, but we don't really want to wait that long. We just want to do it now. And so we agonized over this for like a half an hour, and we finally said, well, let's just do it our way anyway, you know, not realizing it didn't make any difference. It was right. Actually better in some ways to do it all on the same day.
So
but we got hung up on something that was something that you didn't have to get hung up on. It was crazy.
So did something happen after you did it for a while? Like, did you?
We did just did it that one day.
Shift?
We didn't follow up. No, we probably should have. Let's see. I'm trying to look back on when we did that. See, we've gone through this long, difficult process with money. When we moved back to Connecticut in late 2013, early 2014, like January 2014, we were flat broke, busted. I mean, it was a question of whether or not we were going to have to file for bankruptcy. That's how bad it was.
Okay.
And since then, a lot of things have happened. A lot of LOA has been applied, and we've been slowly reversing the curve. And we're not millionaires yet, not even close. But like, to give you an idea, that was 2014. We're now in 2021, 7 years later. This is the first year in that period of time where we're in the off season, because we have that gardening business for Louise. That's where our main source of income. This is the first year where during the off season, we have no worries that we're going to get through the off season with enough money.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how big of a deal that is.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's gigantic.
Huge.
It's amazingly big. And every year it got a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. We were still dealing with it. It's like, it's not like we didn't have to borrow money each year. We did. It's not like it didn't hurt. It did. But each year it was less and less and less, because we kept working on ourselves, basically.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so when I look back and I'm trying to remember when we did the money game thing with the checkbook, I think it was like 2 years ago, something like that, which was about the time that Louise discovered that she had this thyroid issue toward the end of that year. And I mean, our whole life went into chaos and so forth. So I'm not sure I can point to, yes, from that point on, all of a sudden everything changed, but it was just part of that long process of a whole bunch of things that we were applying, turning into a change, because they all added up together. It kind of blends together after a while, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Boy, I'm going to have some fun this weekend, boy.
Good.
I am going to utilize what you told me and absolutely keep myself on a high.
It really is powerful stuff.
The
other thing too, and it took me a while to figure out how this works with the Abraham processes. For those who have that particular book, Asking It Is Given, they've got the 22 processes in the back. And if you study them, what you realize is they have them organized by what your vibration level is. So the ones toward the beginning of the list are for people who are in the higher range. And the ones toward the end of the list are in the lower range. And literally it's a gradation going down like that. So you can just kind of take a personal reading. Where am I right now? Am I in the depths of depression? Am I in total joy? Am I in boredom? I mean, where am I? I'm somewhere in the middle here. And once you have an idea of where that is, go to that section, and those processes are the ones that are going to be most effective for you.
Right.
So it takes a little getting used to that. But once you got that, I mean, most of them you can use in almost any case. I think the reason I point that out is there's like one or two at the beginning that are for people who are already in a high vibe place. If you're in a low vibe place, don't even try them. You're just going to experience frustration. And vice versa, if you're in a high vibe place and you try one of the ones at the back, you're just going to find it boring. You're just going to be so put off by it because they just don't fit what your vibe is.
Yeah, I think as you look at them, you'll know where you're at. Like, you read them and you'll know where you're at. You know what I mean? And then you just try something. And if that doesn't feel right, you go to something else.
Exactly. That's all. Yeah.
Simple. And keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they've got them for all the main desire groups. I mean, what are they? The desire groups are like money, relationships, health, careers, hobbies. You know, those are like the first three especially, those are the ones that everybody wants to have sort of some sort of change on. And those are the ones that get addressed by most of the processes. So you can always find one that fits whatever it is you're trying to deal with.
Which is right. Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
But even if you don't want to use those, I mean, you go onto Facebook and people are sharing various things that they do on a regular basis, affirmations that they do.
Right.
Affirmations. Oh my God. You can make a game around affirmations.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
I can think of two or three ways to do it right now. I mean, how about just invent the affirmation? Somebody comes up with a scenario and then everybody comes up with, okay, here's my idea of how I would create an affirmation around that.
Right.
I mean, you can go on with that game forever.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Okay.
You can tell I woke up this morning at about 4 a.m. and my brain was flying with all these things. Like, write a game of, a book of games so that people can have all these different games to play. And as I laid in bed, I realized, wow, there's really no limit to how many games you can create. But the only thing you really have to do is eliminate the traditional thing about games. Well, there's got to be a winner and a loser and all that. Just throw that stuff out the window. When you do that, then it frees your mind up.
Right.
You start finding all these really cool things you can do.
Yeah. I have some people that surround me that are competitive, you know? So the whole taking out the whole win-lose thing would really throw them for a loop.
I've been thinking about that. I'm wondering if there's a way you can build one that does have a win-lose thing for the people who really, really want that.
Yeah.
I haven't found it yet.
Okay.
But I have a feeling there's got to be a way to do that because competition, people love competition, So how can you say that it's negative? Well, it's not negative if you don't think it's negative. So there's got to be a way to turn that to a positive game.
Absolutely.
It just has to be. Yeah. I just haven't found it yet.
That's it. Oh, I enjoyed this hour.
It's fun.
I really did.
It's
I enjoyed fun. This. It's this was great. Thank you all.
Oh, you're welcome. We should get a few business notes out of the way. First of all, an announcement that I'll be hitting on the next few days. Cindy Chavez is going to take a bit of a sabbatical for a couple months, and we're going to have somebody who's in as a guest a week ago Thursday, Monique Scott, a friend of Daniel Mangana. She's going to be sitting in for Cindy for the next couple months or so. And then, and by the way, Monique, you probably didn't get a chance to hear the show, Rita. Monique is an amazing human being.
Yeah.
Really amazing. Yeah. Just to give you an idea, this is the one I've been telling to people privately, and she said it on the show. It still blows me away. I even as I say it, I'm like, fact checking myself, like, really? What she told me on the show was that when she was a teenager, 15, 16 years old, she was raped.
Okay.
And she managed over time to forgive her rapist and actually redevelop a friendship with him.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And when she first said it, I said to myself, yeah, don't believe that one. Doubt that one. But then I listened to her for like the next 5-10 minutes, well, actually for a whole hour. And I believed her.
Mm-hmm.
I believed her totally because she is a naturally high vibe person and not the skyrocket kind. She just lives at that high vibe level.
Yeah.
Is she
a healer?
Conversation. She's a coach. I'm not sure that she describes herself as a healer. I don't know her well enough to answer that question. I mean, tune in. You'll find out along with me. I had a conversation with her today because she wanted to, ask me some questions about the show and so forth. And we were sharing some stuff. And she told me that when she was 13 years old, she was in a beauty contest in her local town, 1,500 people population, that kind of thing. And she ended up winning Miss Congeniality in the contest. And as soon as she said that, it fit her perfectly because she is such a high vibe person. So I ended up telling her a story about how when I was 12, I was in a school basketball league, and some of the kids who were watching from the sidelines were getting on this one kid. They're basically saying nasty things about his body, and I let him have it. I had a history with these people anyway, and I'd had enough of it, so I just let him have it right from the basketball court while we're playing the game, even though the kid they were making fun of was on the on the other team that I was playing. So he was an opponent in the game, but I didn't care. I wasn't going to let him get away with that. And after the season was over, they created a special Sportsman of the Year award for me. And I didn't know what that meant. Mm. I had never heard the term sportsman, first of all. And Sportsman of the Year meant nothing to me. And she told me the same thing. She didn't know what Miss Congeniality meant. Her mom had explained it to her.
Right, right.
So, I mean, there's one example how just today we bonded over, we had very similar experiences of, you know, living in a high vibe space and having people explain to us what was going on when we were in that space.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that.
But that's the kind of person she is. She's going to be a fun guest. In fact, a fun co-host. In fact, I'm expecting that when Cindy comes back, she's going to come back probably at the end of March. We're going to actually try it as a threesome at that point and see, you know, like you, me, and Linda do. We're going to see if that works out. I can just see Cindy and Monique in the same show. It's going to be pretty cool. Yeah.
Awesome. So yes, I will check it out. Know
what's happening. Yeah, definitely check it out. Also, I have updated the LOA Today app. I have a note for people who are Android users of the app. Google and I had a little disagreement. And so the bottom line is, if you are on version 1.1.83, and you'll see it at the top of the app, I have the version listed there at the top of the page, 1.1.83, in other words, ending in 8.3 or less, you need to uninstall entirely, only if you're an Android user, not on iPhones, not on Macs, not on PCs, just on Androids. And then go to the Play Store or just go to our link. We always include the link in all the shows, and reinstall from scratch. And there's a whole reason why that happened. It has to do with what's known as an app ID, and Google and I had a big fight about it, but we finally got it ironed out. The bottom line, unfortunately for an Android user, is you got to do a complete uninstall before you reinstall. But once you do that, everything's cool. So
cool.
I'll be putting out that message for the next few shows. Just for those people who are Android users who have downloaded the app already, delete it. Delete it and reinstall. Start from scratch. Don't leave it in place. Whatever you do, make sure you delete it before you do the new install. Otherwise, you're getting problems. But do the delete first and you'll be okay. And then also, because we've done the update, it means not only can you send in questions for Rita or for Linda or for anybody else, but Monique is now going to be on there. So you can send in questions for Monique. We got Dean McMurray is also doing the Tuesday shows now. He's also a psychic like Rita, so you can send in questions for him. But take advantage of that. More and more people have been doing that, and it's been making the shows so much better. I mean, Rita, you know what it's like. When you get questions, you know how it feels, right?
Love it.
Is there a better feeling than knowing that a listener wants your advice and then you can actually help them?
No, nothing. Every day I do my work. That is when I'm on my high the most, unless I'm dancing. That is when I'm on my high the most.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear
and so grateful. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. What is it, do you think? Is it just that you're able to help people, or why do you think that is? Why does that happen?
Absolutely. It's because you've made a difference.
Okay. All
right. You know, you've made a difference in someone's life, and that there's no words to that. There's not even, you can't even put money, nothing on that.
Yeah.
You just can't. That's the quickest way to get a high.
Well, we know that for sure here on the show. I mean, I've known it now for the 8+ years that I've been doing it, because all along my whole motivation was to help other people have that daily dose of happy. And amazingly enough, every time I do, I get happy myself. I love it.
Yeah. It's inevitable.
It is. But I mean, if you're going to be inevitable, why not be inevitable about something like that? You know,
That's right.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, obviously we missed Linda today, but hopefully she'll be back next week. We'll be a threesome once again. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And
thank you. You
cozy,
too.
Like you're looking so cozy today. I mean, you got the discussion on.
Yeah, I'm going to put the fireplace on. I'm going to throw a movie on. I'm good.
There you go.
Yeah. It's all good. I hope everybody that's listening enjoys their weekend as well.
Absolutely. Believe it or not, we actually had a very quiet live stream. But for those of you who are tuned into the live stream, thank you very much for tuning in. I think they were just enthralled by what we were talking about today.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. And thank you also. And also my thanks to, I say this all the time, but thanks also to our regular podcast listeners who are growing. They're continuing to grow in numbers, and they're growing individually as well. And we just really appreciate all of you very, very much. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye.